Recent economic reports from the New York Fed and the International Monetary Fund show that Americans are spending more over the last year. According to the latest numbers, consumer spending is up in the U.S., while savings built during the pandemic are down. And that's a unique trend among high-income countries. It may sound a bit puzzling, given ongoing inflation, high interest rates, and the return of student loan payments. So what does high consumer spending mean for the broader economy? And will we keep it up, or is the trend bound to go back down? Our next guest is here to help us figure it out, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do these broader consumer trends reflect what's going on in your own budget? Have you gone back to making more purchases after the pandemic? How do you feel about your household finances right now? And how do you react when you see news about good economic indicators? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics in the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Menzi, good to have you back on Central Time.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
When we hear consumer spending, that might sound intuitive. Can you give us a bit of a breakdown of what is actually included in that, what's not included in that?
Well, consumer spending is, by definition, the spending that's undertaken by households and nonprofit organizations. And so it's going to include in its entirety, you know, both goods. So if you buy a car, that's going to be in there. If you have a get a haircut, that's going to be in there. All those things are going to be included. What won't be in there are, for instance, if a bridge was built by the government, or if a firm bought a machine tool, those won't be in there. But consumer spending is roughly 70% of the economy, the U.S. economy. So, you know, what happens with consumer spending is determinative for what's happening with GDP and overall economic activity.
70% of the U.S. economy, how does that compare to other countries? Do we know?
Well, it's a little bit higher. You know, Americans are known for being more likely to consume than others. But it's been true that, you know, over all sorts of advanced economies, consumption has been rising over time as a share of output. So we're at the high end for sure.
So here we are at this time with high interest rates, ongoing inflation. Why do you think we're seeing high consumer spending right now?
I think there's a multiplicity of reasons why we as economists, for instance, are surprised at how resilient the consumer is. You know, one thing is that we were sort of looking backwards in time and relying upon data that wasn't completely accurate. And so if you'd asked me a month and a half ago, you know, all the packages of support that had been provided during the Trump period when we had the pandemic and including the American Rescue Plan under Biden. And I said, well, you know, all these funds were given to households to support their spending and their ability to survive. When would that be used up? Well, you know, that relies upon a judgment about, you know, how much do people want to save usually. And of course, we know we have lived in atypical times. I think what's true is the economy and how much income we got was turned out to be higher in the most recent estimates that are sort of comprehensive revisions of the data. So much higher than what we had earlier thought, plus what we think people are, how what the rate at which they are saving is less than we would have guessed. And, you know, why that's the case? Well, it's hard to measure a $28 trillion economy and figure out how much everybody is getting. And, you know, people are unpredictable in certain times. And one of the things is people don't seem to be saving as much as they used to in terms of percentage terms, partly because they say, well, my likelihood of getting a job or losing my job is very low. The likelihood of getting a new job is pretty high. And my wage growth is fairly high relative to what it used to be. And so I don't need to save as much for that rainy day as I would have, let's say, pre-pandemic. And so we have a confluence of these two events upping sort of like excess savings that we have as consumers able to tap. And so you might have said, well, maybe we had excess savings of $300 billion and roughly about to run out right about now. Latest estimates have maybe quadrupled that number just because we've got more information.
Sure. So, and we've seen strong numbers in the labor market recently. What about what people are bringing in the door, though? How are wages looking right now?
Well, wages now are rising faster than the rate of inflation. Now, one has to be careful. There are several ways of measuring the average. One is to say, well, look at all the people who are employed, look at how much in total they've been paid, and just divide one by the other. So that's the average that we typically look at, and that's exceeding the rate of inflation. If you look, on the other hand, at the household in the middle of the income distribution, so 50% of the households are, or 50% of the wages are lower and 50% of the wages are higher. So look at the median wage and look at how that's compared to inflation. Well, you're a little bit above the rate of inflation over the past year, not as much as the first comparison I would have made. So, in these times where, it's hard to put your finger on the average person, you have to be a little bit cautious about how you tabulate and say, how are we doing? But I would say right now, over the past year, wages are rising faster than inflation.
We're talking with Menzi Chin right now, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, looking at new data that show consumer spending is up in the U.S., and it's staying up for the moment. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Your comments, your questions, how are your household finances looking right now? Are you spending more? 800-642-1234. Menzi, we have been seeing inflation go up, consumer prices go up. Do you think this increased spending is related to making up that difference, or does it go above and beyond that?
Well, I think it's going above and beyond that. And so when I've talked about consumption numbers growing, that's after adjusting for inflation. So, what is true was when the government provided these supports in the original CARES Act in March of 2020, the end of 2020, there was a consumer support through COVID package, and then the American Rescue Plan. I mean, all of those things provided extra support either through tax cuts or checks or extended unemployment benefits and so forth to individuals. And, the thing was, for a good amount of time, we couldn't spend it easily because, either the restaurants were closed or you didn't want to go out to a restaurant. Whatever reasons, there was a little bit of enforced saving. And some of the spending got dumped onto, buying goods from, a lot of it from overseas, but not all of it. And so, we have built up a war chest that people could spend. And that's what's propelled the economy. And the fact is, with these more recent numbers, we've seen a reassessment of how many resources people had to deploy. And that explains in part why the consumer has surprised the economists in terms of being so resilient and in terms of spending. I would say, they're making their best judgments about, how much they need to save, given their assessment of how well the economy is doing. And so it's in contrast, I'd say, to, let's say, many of the European economies where labor market isn't as vibrant and they've got their own challenges, which make people want to save more for that possible rainy day.
And so often it seems that when a certain economic indicator that comes out, it triggers a reaction in another part of the economy. Mm-hmm. When it comes to consumer spending, what is that most closely linked to in the economy?
Well, I think the way to think about it is there's a certain irony in how resilient the consumer is. So if you look at the first half of this year, as best our statistics tell us, about three quarters of the growth that we've seen is accounted for by consumption. And it's pretty fast growth in GDP, all things considered. Well, the irony is the faster GDP is growth, holding everything else constant, and at the same time, the more persistent inflation is, the more likely it is that the Fed is going to keep interest rates higher for longer. And that means that eventually the slowdown will hit. And, because all these levers are sort of loosely tied to the things that you want to affect, we run the risk of, well, it looks really good now. the Fed keeps on like pressing on the brakes by letting the interest rate rise or stay high until such time as suddenly things snap and maybe you go into a recession. And the issue is that we don't usually know when we've got into a recession until we're well into it, because our statistics lag so far behind.
We're talking with Menzie Chin, professor of economics and public affairs at UW-Madison, and we are looking at recent reports showing that consumer spending is up while household savings are down in the last year and what it means for the economy. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like the economy is headed in a good direction? And what does that look like to you? What factors really are impactful in your everyday life? And what questions do you have about consumer spending and the broader economy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up our talk with UW-Madison economist Menzie Chin about new reports showing high consumer spending. We're taking your calls as well at 800-642-1234. How are you feeling about the economy right now? What makes you feel good or bad about the economy? Let us know at 800-642-1234. And Menzie, despite a lot of positive indicators, it doesn't change the fact that consumer confidence, public opinion polling isn't always that positive about the state of the economy. People aren't always feeling optimistic despite some of the data out there. What do you make of that seeming disconnect?
Yeah, it is kind of a mystery. I mean, some people are speculating that it is just the contrast with recent times where, let's say pre-pandemic, you didn't have all this uncertainty and the prices, the level of prices of things was a lot lower. What's true is now, even as we sit here in 2023 and unemployment is remarkably low, the price of, you know, a gallon of gas or a price of an actual, you know, good or price of a house, lots of things are more expensive. So the rate of inflation has come down substantially from near 10%, 9% earlier in the year to something like closer to 3.7%. That's the rate of change. And for a lot of people, you go into a store and you say, well, a gallon of milk used to be so much lower than it is now. And I think after a period of some 10, 15 years where prices didn't move up a lot, you have this big jump. Maybe that's the reason people still feel uncomfortable or unhappy. The other thing I'll say, and one I can quantify more clearly, is that there's an increasing polarization or partisan aspect to these indicators of sentiment. You know, you ask a bunch of people, how do they feel? And interestingly enough, a lot of it's not related to the statistics we see, like unemployment and inflation. You would think the person who identifies as a Republican or Democrat would, on average, have the same view, just given the same conditions. But what's interesting is when the person of the opposite party occupies the White House, there is this big switch. And, you know, you can just see, even if economic conditions don't change objectively, the viewpoint of how the economy is doing can switch for that individual or that group of individuals. Now, that's been true for 20 years, this sort of partisan divide, but it's grown in size and magnitude, especially over the past 7-8 years. And so part of the explanation for why we see this disjuncture is just the partisan lack of agreement on just the state of the economy.
And you mentioned some of those really visible costs, the milk, the car, the mm-hmm. house. With housing in particular and some of those really big purchases that people want to make, is there a feeling out there that folks are stuck right now because of those high interest rates?
Yeah, I think high interest rates is once again a thing that it has both a psychological effect. You haven't seen these things in a long time, and a real effect. And I'll just say, you know, yesterday, I believe it was, we broke 5% on a 10-year Treasury bill. Haven't seen anything like that since 2007 in this country. So what have we done? We've come back to fairly high interest rates in that respect, versus a naturally low interest rates. So there's this sharp contrast. Not only are these interest rates back up to levels that we haven't seen in a long time, they have moved extremely fast from unnaturally, in some senses, or rarely seen very low rates. So I think those things have certainly squeezed people. So prices are high, even if inflation has come down, they're high, and that's squeezing people out, and certainly squeezing people out of easily buying a new house. And so while we can see that there are a lot of reasons for objectively people to feel good about their situation, you can see, a set of reasons that why they might not. I still say that it is a little bit odd to see this wide of a gap between the objective indicators and the sentiment that we see from the various surveys. And so I still think there's somewhat of a mystery to all this.
Talking with Menzie Chin, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, about new data showing strong consumer spending numbers in the economy. We're also taking your calls. Let's go to the phones now. We have David with us in Hampshire, Illinois. Hi, David.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about?
My question is I've been listening to NPR for quite a while about the increase in interest rates and how they're not going down. But I'm just a little confused if that's a positive thing, because as a young couple starting out trying to find a home, I mean, we're seeing interest rates up in the 8%, 9%. And I was speaking with somebody I worked with previously that some property values and their percentages are going up to like the 14%. And I'm just wondering, is this a positive thing for our economy to have such high interest rates, or is it better if it does eventually crash and come down?
David, thanks for the call. Menzie, what do you think?
Well, I mean, whether it's good or bad depends in part upon where you stand. So the high interest rates are a benefit to whom? Those who are net savers. Who are net savers? People who've built up assets over time. So older people in general, not always, but in general, people who've got assets, now they can get a return on their money that they couldn't get particularly easily in the past. On the other hand, if you're a net borrower, like lots of young people who want to buy a house, you're going to have to borrow typically. And for you, that's gonna cut against you. And so, yes, there are winners and losers to the high interest rates. Now, you might ask, why is the Fed pushing interest rates up? Well, the reason is partly because the Fed has a duty to maintain price stability. And one way you can maintain price stability, that is to keep inflation in check, is to make sure the economy doesn't get too hot. So what we experienced in 2022 and part of 2023 was rapid inflation, made lots of people unhappy because it eroded their purchasing power. Partly that the inflationary pressures was because of our attempt to support the economy, with transfers and extended unemployment benefits and so forth. But you don't want the good time to get too good in terms of prices rising rapidly. And so the Fed's trying to cool things down. And if it can do it without throwing the economy into recession, then that's a good thing. The problem is, of course, there's some pain, but the pain comes because it's trying to deter people from, let's say, buying that additional house, or companies from building that new factory might just push things over the edge in terms of having too much activity or buying too many pieces of equipment and so forth. So good or bad, it's hard to say because it depends where you're coming from, but there is a reason why the Fed is pushing interest rates up.
And Menzie, people have been seeing headlines, coverage for well over a year about the potential for a recession. It's always this thing that seems to be looming out there, and it can be easy to lose sight of what that actually means. There is a definition, right? Can you remind us what we're talking about when we hear that recession word in the news?
Well, the people who coined the term recession is a think tank called the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they actually get to define it because they thought of the name. And it's a broad contraction or reduction in economic activity that's somewhat sustained. So it's not like one sector of the economy going down. And it's not necessarily GDP going down, although it might, but it's like the economy broadly contracting over some period of time. And so what's true is, going back to the beginning of our segment, you know, most economists thought that by now we would have had the consumer be tapped out. The monies that had been devoted to in the various packages to support consumers and households would have been spent down. We now discover that, well, people, you know, had more funds and being paid and benefits from the government and transfers from the government and tax reductions than we originally thought. And so the spending went on longer, and it's pushed back and back and back when we thought the recession would be. I personally thought it would be, you know, by the end of this year or the beginning of next year. If I look at the average response of a Wall Street economist, they've essentially, you know, on average, they're saying no downturn in GDP growth. And in fact, as you know, little as 3 months ago, Wall Street economists were saying maybe we get a percentage point of growth at the end of 2023. Now they're saying like north of 2% growth by the end of this year. We're still, for some of us, still predicting a recession. And the reason why it can occur is because, ironically, once again, the economy has exhibited so much strength, and to a less extent, inflation has proven to be a little bit more persistent than we thought, that the Fed will keep interest rates high and maybe it won't calibrate it just right to know when to relent, and that we keep it too high too long so that we go into a recession. So you can see some like credit card bankruptcy rates are rising. So certain other indicators of stress are going to show up for small firms, sure, and so forth. And so then the question is, you know, does the Fed overdo it?
Thanks to our guest, Menzie Chin, professor of economics and public affairs at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about the latest trends in consumer spending and what it means for the broader economy.